Summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting Phils and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
Good morning, Philadelphia. Welcome into Bud Light Baseball Brunch on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler in Philadelphia. We're broadcasting to you live for the final time this season with our good friends here at Xfinity Live right across from Citizens Bank Park as we lead you in to Phillies Pirates at 1:35 this afternoon as we look to break out the brooms on the Buccos. I'm Chris Sack of Green Legion Radio, sitting alongside my co-pilot here, Phillies broadcaster Greg Murphy. What's up, Murph? How are we doing this morning?
We're doing just fine. Doing good. Final time here, huh?
This is our last time here this season.
Look ahead at my schedule. okay. All right. Well,
glad you read the run sheet, Murph.
Well, you know, it's been a busy, busy week. 11 games in 10 days here in South Philadelphia, and Phil's looking to finish it up at 8-3. You'll take that, right?
Absolutely. I mean, no doubt about it.
It's been a fun week taking care of business against these teams that, you know, they need to. And it's something that is such a departure from what we have seen over the last couple of years, right? You know, the disappointment of playing these teams that are down at the bottom of the standings and the Phils falling to them more often than not. And we've seen it over in 2017 and 18 and 19 and over and over. This team does not have that feel at all. And we talked to Kyle Gibson last night. I thought what he said was really interesting. He said at this point, when they walk into the clubhouse and they come in each day, they get together, he said, to a man, everybody kind of looks around and says, we're gonna win today. We're going to win today. And they really believe that. And I think they're playing that way. And I think that makes a big difference. You know, there's a confidence level in this team right now that we haven't seen in quite some time.
You remember that? And obviously, they're probably not doing those things nowadays with all the health concerns with
Major League cigarettes, Baseball. For sure.
Yeah, definitely not happening. But, you know, they would get together and they would try and figure out a way to win the National League. And this is something that I picked up because I was lucky to be, and we're going to talk about that game and the return of Bryce Harper. But I was lucky to be here at the ballpark with my wife and my kids on Friday night, and the one thing that I could say was the second at bat where Bryce was coming up and Schwarber was coming by the on deck circle, and he stopped for probably about 5 to 10 seconds, and I think he was telling him something about what was going on, because at that point it was a different pitcher than who had started. It was Bryce Wilson who started, and it was Zach Thompson who was in the game, and I know Zach Thompson sort of stabilized things for the Buccos at that point, but that right there, he picked something up, and it was something that he saw within the pitcher, and he was able to relay that. That's something that we used to see with those teams during the golden era, how Utley would just be sitting there, and he was stoic, just staring down the pitcher, waiting for him to tip the pitch. That is something I feel is starting to come back. It's taken a long time to get there, but now these guys are starting to work and go in the same direction instead of everybody just trying to take care of themselves individually.
Yeah, you're 100% right about that, and you mentioned the guy that really, I think, I'm sure there are other guys on that bench doing the exact same thing, but what Kyle Schwarber, that is one of his that's one of his real special qualities that he brings to this clubhouse, and that he's brought to other clubhouses. I mean, the guy's just a winner. That's all he wants to do, and he has been so instrumental with some of these young guys. If you ask Matt Vierling, if you ask Bryson Stott, if you ask Nick Maton, if you ask Alec Bohm, hey, when you're sitting in the dugout or if you're sitting in the clubhouse and you're talking hitting, who are you talking to? Kyle Schwarber, right down the line. And Kyle has taken that role on. And again, I'm sure Reese does the same thing, and I'm sure Bryce does the same thing. But Kyle really made it a priority to make sure that he's available for these guys, because he has a wealth of experience. And for especially for the left-handed hitters, you know, he can really give them some insights that perhaps as a young player they can't see themselves quite yet. But that's how it works. You pass it down and you move it forward. And I think we're seeing I think one of the best storylines of the year is how the young players on this team have developed. And you know, there's a lot of people involved in that. But the teammates are involved in that, and I think Kyle's a big one.
No doubt about it. Sounds like Kyle Schwarber's a good neighbor, just like your local State Farm agent, Dave Bavuso.
I think he'd be an excellent neighbor.
No doubt about it. Service with surprisingly great rates. You can combine your home and auto, and guess what you'll get? That's right. Good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates. In fact, State Farm agent Dave Bavuso is your go-to agent for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining home and auto today. State Farm agent Dave Bavuso will help you mix and match things perfectly. Call 856-740-5012 for your surprisingly great rates. That's 856-740-5012. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements.
I'm pretty sure they wouldn't let me in Kyle Schwarber's neighborhood, though.
Hey. You don't think so?
No, no. I don't rate. No. They'd be like, turn that piece of metal around and go on out, young man.
What kind of vehicle does he drive? He looks like a pickup
truck guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what he drives, to be honest with you. I don't pay much attention to the car. I'm not a car guy, so I don't pay much attention. If I had to bet, I would say a pickup truck, which is what I drive. So
you do drive a pickup truck. It's very nice, too.
Yeah.
You got a new one last season.
I did. So maybe they let me in. I don't know. Doubtful, though.
Listen, you know,
I'm sure Kyle wouldn't let me in. So
you know who rates, though, is Phillies fans in general, and we love giving tickets away and getting people to the ballpark. This has been a great weekend for the Phillies. They've been averaging over 30,000 fans here at the ballpark, and I'm telling you right now, over the next couple weeks, when they get to the Marlins and they get to the Nationals and things tend to pick up a little bit more with the intensity here in September, people are going to want to be down here with us. Two tickets for Phillies Nationals on Friday, the 9th, September 9th. I've got a group of 16 guys coming down here for that game because we got rained out from my brother's bachelor party back in May for that Mets game, which just made up. So we're going to be down here that night in the Hall of Fame Club. That game is at 7:05. In order to win, you must answer in the comments section on the Green Legion Radio YouTube channel, the Green Legion Facebook page, or our Twitter handle, at Green Legion. Plain and simple this week, but it's a little bit of fun because I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Game shows.
Yeah.
Give us your favorite game show.
You stepped up again, Zach. This is a great question. I love this question.
I don't step up much, but when I do, it's quite a shock.
Well, you know what? Yeah, we're all very excited that it happened this week. Excellent question. Fun question. Best game show ever. And, Mike, you know, if you go back and go back in time and look at some of the game shows, there's really been some awesome game shows over the years. So it was hard to get it down to five, which was what I always do, pick five games. Or games.
Game
shows. Yeah, exactly. But I was able to do it, and I'll give you one right now. And not my number one, but on the list.
It's never your number
one. Never my number one. That's my MO. The Match Game. You remember the Match Game? I know, well before your time. Yeah, yeah.
It seems like the older contingent here is right there with you.
Our gray beards out here in the audience are all like, yeah, I remember the Match Game. What was his name? Gene Rayburn. Very good. Thank you, Pat. Gene Rayburn with his long microphone, and he was just the classic game show host. And they would have stars on the panel, and they would ask them questions and leave a blank in the question. And Gene Rayburn would always say stuff like, Chris Sachs' nose was so long, his friends used to call him blank. And then the music would start, and all the stars would write down an answer.
I don't think my nicknames are allowed to be said on air. FCC guidelines and regulations, right,
well,
Pat?
Every once in a while. And we're talking back in the 60s and 70s, right? When this show was, 70s? Okay, so we're in the 70s. You know, things were different back then. But every once in a while, one of the stars would drop an answer, and he'd be like, whoa! And it was a funny show. So it
was
great,
it black
reruns.
And white? Black and white or color?
I think it was color at that point. Yeah, they probably were drinking in the green room. So it's a lot of fun if you haven't gone back. So the Match Game is on my list.
Match Game. Okay. We were talking about this at my parents' house. Me and my wife were down in Atlantic City last night. And my parents were watching the boys, and which was great because it was pretty warm last night on the Atlantic City boardwalk. So much so that Bally's dropped the Y. That's how hot it was out there last night on the boardwalk.
Wow.
And I have a picture to prove it, by the way.
Okay. All right. Well.
But we were talking about this at my parents' house. We were picking up the kids. And for me, it was the best reason why, if you were ever sick and you stayed home from school, the Price is Right.
Yeah.
You know, especially old school Bob Barker.
The only old school Bob Barker.
Yeah. I mean,
it's
no offense, no offense to Drew Carey, but...
No, total offense to Drew Carey. Bob Barker wins.
Man, God, you definitely are. You got some fire underneath you.
I'm feisty this morning.
Love it.
Yeah.
Did you not drink your coffee today?
I drank a little extra. Took my meds.
But we also, in my junior year of high school, we had, so you would have your science class and you would have a lab. Well, if you got the lab done in the first period, we would turn on the TV and we watch The Price is Right on the television.
Right there in class. The American education system hard at work. Good work. Yeah. Well, at least
that explains a lot.
At least you knew how much powdered milk was, you know. $2.99. Yeah. Right.
But yes, yeah. And Slash, do you have one?
Yeah, I'm going to take Jeopardy off the board.
Oh. Jeopardy, okay. Yeah.
That's classic. A classic. Always watched it. Always had it on at 7 o'clock, leading into Seinfeld, of course, at 7:30. So.
There you go.
There you go,
it's
yeah.
a staple.
Again, Alex Trebek. Alex Trebek and Jeopardy. I haven't watched a whole lot since Alex passed, so I can't really weigh in on that. But, yeah, that was a tradition in my house, too, for sure.
All right, so everybody get on to our social media platforms and make sure you guys get in your answers so you can win two tickets for Phillies Nationals on September 9th at 7:05. We are now going to go out of the box, and the Phillies are the hottest team in Major League Baseball
right now.
Yeah. Winners of six in a row. The Mets and the Orioles both are right behind them at three in a row, and then nobody else has won more than two. It's crazy to think about, and you look at it right now. Over the last week in particular, a lot of people were down in the dumps after that Mets series, especially the marathon of a game that they had last Sunday.
Yep.
They had their opportunities, their chances to win and beat the Mets. They finished the season series 5-14 against the Mets, but let's not forget what the Phillies have done to everybody else pretty much in Major League Baseball. I believe there's only four teams that they have a losing record against this season.
Yeah.
The Rangers, the Cubs, the Blue Jays, and the Mets.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And they are sort of like when people want to sit here and say, oh, well, you know, this team can't beat the good teams. Well, you're not paying enough attention to what they've done and how they've been performing, especially over the last couple months or the last few months since Rob Thompson's taken over. This is a completely different team than what we've seen in previous seasons, as you elaborated in the beginning of our segment here.
Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, it's a great point. You know, they have a winning record against the Dodgers, against the Padres, against the Brewers. I think they're 8-8 against the Braves. 6-6 against the Braves. So, yeah, to your point, yeah, they are beating good teams. They can't beat the Mets. That's a fact. The Mets have their number.
Can the Braves cool off so the Mets just stay in the division lead?
Yeah, I would prefer that.
I would rather have the Braves in the first round.
Absolutely.
If I had my druthers here.
Yeah, I know. It's always the be careful what you wish for kind of thing, but I agree with you. But you mentioned Rob Thompson, and Larry and I are doing the postgame show last night. I just said, you know, we don't talk about it enough, but if you stop, Rob Thompson's now managed 76 games for this team, and he has won 50 of those games. 50-26, which is the most that a Phillies team has won in a 76-game period since 2011, when they were also 50-26 at the end of the season. And we remember how good that 2011 team was. So Rob Thompson deserves a ton of credit for what he has done to this clubhouse, for this clubhouse, and for this Phillies team. And, you know, we talked about it a lot early when he was on his winning streak to start, but I think we've gotten away from it. So every once in a while, I like to tip my cap to Rob.
Because as you should.
He is just as steady Eddie as they come, and the guys have really responded.
I saw a statistic, yet I don't know if it was before yesterday's game or if it was after last night's game. In order for the Phillies to reach, I think it was before, in order for them to reach into 90 wins, and pretty much like 90 wins to me in a wild card situation gets you into the playoffs.
Locked in.
They have to go 19-17 the rest of the way.
Against a pretty soft schedule. I guess about a week and a half ago, I just did this exercise on my own. I did not for air.
You didn't take advantage of the Phillies research department like you normally do?
No, I did it all by myself with my fingers.
I'm proud of you.
So yeah, thank you. And I did have to add in my toes at some point. But I looked at the schedule and I said to myself, all right, with the remaining, and I forget how many games, or maybe 34 games left, I said if the Phillies win every game they're going to be favored in, and if they lose every game they're not going to be favored in, and I threw the Braves into the not favored because you're on the road in Atlanta, they would have won. And now that's not going to happen, obviously, but it's probably going to happen somewhere in that balance. They will win 94 games. So 94 games. That gets you into the postseason easily. Now,
the 93 Phillies won 97.
Right.
That's crazy to think about.
94 games, a lot of baseball.
And the 07 and 08, that would be more wins than 07 and 08 regular season teams.
Exactly. So kudos to the Mets for the way they've been playing. Kudos to the Braves for the way they've been playing, because they're both ahead of the Phillies right now. But if the Phillies come in with 94 wins, I mean, we're talking about, what did they win last year? 82, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they barely broke that
right.
streak of
right.
being
So 12 500 more or less. Wins. For the Phils this season, pretty impressive, especially after May. You know, where they were in May and where they are now is kind of remarkable.
kind of reminds you of, like, you know, back in 2003 with the Marlins. And we said this. We were talking about it at the time. And I know, like, we were talking about before Girardi got fired. And it was like, you know, when do you make the move? How do you make the move? When is the right time to make the move? All that stuff that we were talking about. And I know you were saying that, listen, you can make any change that you want, but I normally like to put it on the players.
Yeah.
And you were absolutely correct by that assumption. But also at the same time, like, I was the one screaming from the rooftops, I wanted Larry Bowa to come out of the front office.
Yeah.
And I said I didn't want somebody that was already there in that clubhouse because I thought it was just a losing culture, a losing environment. Rob Thompson and what he has done has just been simply been remarkable. And when you look at it, too, I know we've talked about it over the last month or so. If it wasn't for Buck Showalter and what he has done with the Mets this year, because like, that's a market improvement, and that's a team that's going to be wind up probably about, you know, when all said and done, they might be, what, 6 to 10 games better than us when it's all said and done at the end of the season. But Buck Showalter, to me, is the National League Manager of the Year. Right behind him is Rob Thompson. There's nobody else in the league that should be above him in that voting at the end of the season.
I would agree with that. I actually think you can make an argument for Rob Thompson. I think you're right. Buck Showalter probably wins it.
He also had to manage through injuries with Scherzer and DeGrom.
He had to handle all of the same kinds
of
stuff.
He's got Lindor back to being a, you know, all-star caliber player.
Yeah, the only difference is that they shot out of the gate and have front-run the entire time, whereas the Phils and Rob Thompson had to climb out of were they 8 games under 500 at one point?
Really, it was 22-29, believe, when they fired Joe Girardi.
Right, so there you go. You know, but again, Rob Thompson's not in this for the Manager of the Year award, and you know what? Let's hope it plays out the way we think it's going to play out. The Phils play well off season. They hire Rob full time, and he's got a couple more chances down the road to win Manager of the Year because these players like playing for him. He's a great guy to be around, and you know, he deserves credit. We were both wrong back then because you're right. I put it all on the players, but obviously the manager has made a difference. And you wanted Bowa, who is a fiery personality, one of my favorite human beings on the planet. But I don't think it would have worked as well as Rob Thompson has worked because he's almost the complete opposite. He's just that calming presence that I think these guys need. So, Dave Dombrowski, give him credit. You know, he saw that.
You know who's a fiery guy?
Who's that?
Bryce Harper.
And yeah,
I'll tell you, I've been to the ballpark on numerous occasions for guys that have come back, whether it's been from injury or they've come back in a different uniform. And listen, it's not like the old days. It's, you know, that 5-year stretch where the ballpark was practically packed and sold out every single night. But that 30,000 made it feel like it was 45,000 all over again the other night when Bryce took to the plate in the cleanup hole. And the bases were loaded with nobody out. And then he gets that RBI, the 2 RBI single into right field. In that moment, in that time, what an electric moment here at the ballpark. I was lucky enough to witness it from the stands. And I know you were here working and doing the pre and post game. You know, you've seen a lot over your tenure with the Phillies as a broadcaster and even beyond that. But you could speak to it just like I could. There was goosebumps in the house at that moment.
You know what was I think maybe the coolest part? Like, once Bryce got up to the plate, you almost assumed he was going to do something. Like, you know, I wouldn't have been shocked if he hit the grand slam right there, right? But instead, you know, he gets the 2-run single, which was awesome, got things started. But to me, the coolest moment was the buildup. You know, all right, so Schwarber's safe on an error, right? And then, all right, you got one on. And then Hoskins, I think, walked, if I'm not mistaken. No, he did a double. Second and third. And
I'm sitting to reach. I'm like, she was like, I want the bases loaded. And
exactly
I was like, the only
right.
way that's going to happen is if Bohm walks.
Yeah,
and
Bohm walks.
And then you had that play at second base, re-stretching back.
I'm with you. I'm talking to our engineer in the studio. I said to Mike Trubarosa, I said, I'm praying for a walk here. I want him to load it up. It'll be so cool. And then he hits an infield single, and everyone has to stay put. And he's safe at first. And it's like, are you kidding me?
And then
for the dramatic.
The pitching coach comes out, and they're playing his song longer than what is not normally for a walk-up song. It was the build was incredible.
It really was.
And the payoff was even better.
And Dan Baker, you know, just the little things at the ballpark, but Dan Baker, my God, I'm just thinking about it. We played it on the show. It was awesome. His intro for Bryce when he came back and then the crowd was awesome too. So, yeah, it just had that special feel and then Bryce delivers and that's what he does. So,
yeah, great times, great moments down here at the ballpark and hopefully we have some more of them over the next month plus because
no
this team is proving right here, right now what they are capable of and what we've thought that they were capable of all along. Do you need a bib?
I think I do.
I apparently have a drinking problem. Oh, it's been a long morning. Yeah, so I unscrewed the lid of my little metal thing here and then proceeded to pour it all down my shirt. Thankfully, it's just water.
You know what? Good thing is you might need to clean yourself off just like the windows need to be cleaned off from Premier Cleaning.
Squeegee, please.
The leading window cleaning company in Philadelphia and its surrounding area is a Premier Window Cleaning. Over 30 years experience, they offer commercial and residential window cleaning, pressure washing, parking garage cleaning, graffiti removal, post-construction cleaning. Every employee is trained, certified, and goes through an extensive background check. At Premier Window Cleaning, your satisfaction level needs to be 100%, as no job is complete until you're happy. With clients like Lincoln Financial Field, Comcast, Chop Roberts, and University of Pennsylvania, you cannot go wrong. For more information and a full list of services, give them a call, 267-534-5198. That's 267-534-5198. Or head to their website, wehatedirtywindows.com. That's wehatedirtywindows.com. We are just scratching the surface on our Phillies talk as we head into our next segment. Stick with us right here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
Disappointed. All the good ones out there, and he had to pull this one out.
Don't tell me this is not a good one. Don't do that.
I'm not saying. You know, there's fun rejoiners. But welcome back. Second segment here on this overcast Sunday as we lead you into Phillies Pirates this afternoon. Phillies looking to break out the brooms and carry on this 6-game winning streak into a 7-game winning streak.
7 games against the Pirates, too, straight if they win today.
I like their chances.
I like their chances, too. Noah's been good. Syndergaard's on the hill today.
They're 4-0 in his starts.
Yeah, 4-0 in his starts. Now, I will say, Roansy Contreras has also been good for the Pirates. He's been good and pretty good of late. So
has he faced this lineup, though?
No.
And what's the lineup looking like today? JT's got to be starting, right?
JT is playing today.
Okay, because Stubbs was in on Thursday night. So I was kind of figuring he would be going today. Not sure if they're going to give anybody else a reprieve or rest. You got the lineup?
Yeah, Schwarber, Castellanos, Bohm, Harper, Realmuto, Segura, Stott, Vierling, Edmundo Sosa at third. So Harper's your DH, no Bohm.
No Reese.
Bohm's at first.
Okay, yeah. All right. Not bad. You got to figure somewhere along the line here, too, they're probably going to give Bryce a day off as well.
Because
I think the plan was for him to play 5 straight days, and then he was supposed to be off today, and then he'd be back in the lineup tomorrow.
My bet is see how the Arizona series goes. I think we have a day game on the final on Wednesday. On Wednesday, that might be the day.
And then they're off on Thursday.
Yeah, although he's probably not going to want to sit JT and Bryce at the same time, so I guess I'll figure that out. But
okay, not a problem. Well, you know what? Listen, we only got a couple weekends left here in summer, if you're going to actually think about it from that context, which means you have to get down and check out our friends over at the Ludlum Bar and Grill on 4000 Landis Avenue in Seattle City. Yes, it's the old La Casa, and the La Casa lemonade is delicious. You need to get down there before the summer is through, and even off-season, they're still open year-round. Check them out, ludlamhotel.com. That's Ludlam, L-U-D-L-A-M, hotel.com, or call them at 609-263-7829. That's 609-263-7829. For all your reservation, dining, or entertainment questions, the Ludlam Bar and Grill, your new oasis in Seattle City. We got some kids over here hanging out with us. We got some old heads over here. And then Christy Lynn's just right in the middle of it all.
Yeah, she always is. That's where she is. I wanted to point out, so I'm assuming you guys are brothers and sisters. Is that no?
No.
Best friends and a sister. Okay, so we got two young guys and a young lady here, and they all have different Phillies jerseys on. We got the powder blues, we got the red batting JT. Practice, and we've got the home pinstripe, and they're representing their favorite play. I love that. Hey, I love it. You guys look good.
They're saying that the kids, the next generation, they can't get into baseball. You guys love baseball?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
You love this Phillies team, right? All right.
That's right. Let's get some Red October in your guys' lives, because I know none of you are older than 11.
Yeah, you have not seen the postseason yet.
You guys need to experience it for sure, because it's a lot of fun, and this team is a lot of fun. And let's get to the postseason in October. And I'm ready to be wherever they are on Friday, October 7th, whether it's Atlanta, St. Louis, or, God forbid, please don't make me go to Citi Field. I do not feel like dealing with
Christy
that.
Christy Lynn said she is not going if they go to New York. That's
yeah.
what she said.
Listen, I've been pining for Phillies playoff baseball for 11 years. I cannot say no. It's like drugs.
Beggars can't be choosers, yeah. Zach. Right. Come on.
Got to be there for sure. Listen, I know we were just talking about Bryce and his moment the other night returning to the lineup and what a moment it was at the ballpark. Any reason at all that Bryson Stott should worry about being evicted from the Harper household after his double cup dump on the back of Bryce? Because I think he's probably the only guy in the clubhouse that has enough fervor to be able to do something like that to Bryce. Nobody else seems like they were interested.
Now, it's become Bryson's thing now. He takes those two glasses and pours them down the back of whoever's being interviewed on the field. Here's what I said on the postgame show. Bryce didn't even flinch when the water got poured down his back. So I said Bryson probably warmed it up a little bit because he was a little afraid to
Bryce just turned and gave him a look, though.
Yeah.
Like,
really, my friend? Yeah. No, I think they'll allow Bryson to stay in the home. So,
just word to the wise though to Bryson, if Bryce is going to leave you at the ballpark, there is no chance that you can walk across the Waltman Bridge. I've tried it before; you can't get over it.
Not a good idea.
If you're going to have to call Uber home, or you're going to have to go to the Ben Franklin.
Yeah,
that. Yeah. Sure.
Oh, I know it is.
Yeah, yep. It is a true story, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Couple ins and outs here with the team. Zach Wheeler was placed on the 15-day IL the other day. He has right forearm tendonitis that he's dealing with. I've been saying all along since they put him on there, and I think Dombrowski and Zach Wheeler have backed that up since they've met with the media, is this is a good opportunity over the next couple weeks to just give him a rest and allow him to get it right before he takes the mound again. I think they're looking at September 6th back here against the Marlins that Tuesday, right after Labor Day. I have no red flags on this one at all. I'm just excited to think that if you're going to give him 2 weeks off, how fresh he's going to be down the stretch and into October.
Yeah, when I first saw the news, I was panic mode.
Because me too.
When you hear forearm on a pitcher, oftentimes that is a precursor to forearm to Tommy John kind of connection. And so when you see that is not great, obviously. So I was in full panic mode. But then Dave Dombrowski came out about 2 hours later and spoke to the media. And he kind of said, look, relax. It really is just a chance to calm this down a little bit. He could pitch tonight if we wanted him to. He wanted to pitch that night. And they just said, Zach, come on. Take two starts off. We can afford it at this moment. Take two starts off, and let's get you fresh for September. Zach reluctantly did that. He spoke the next day and kind of just doubled down on that and said, I'm fine. And Jim Salisbury asked him, he said, you've dealt with this in the past. What did you normally do in the past? And he goes, I pitch. That's so it's not something to be concerned
about.
Was
it contentious like Castellanos and Jim Salisbury?
No, it was very nice. We all giggled. It was kumbaya. So, so I felt infinitely better after hearing Dave talk and then hearing Zach talk as well. And he should be back on the 6th. He should be well rested. Down the stretch we come with hopefully a healthy and strong Zach Wheeler. Aaron Nola, I mean, he's been just absolutely brilliant over his last couple starts. It's shaping up pretty good. The starting pitching, I have a stat on the pregame show today, something like in the last 20 starts, 13 of them, they have gone and allowed 3 earned runs or less. And in 8 of them, 1 or no earned runs. 8 out of 20 games, no runs or 1 run. That's remarkable.
And that speaks a lot to why in their last 30, they're 22-8.
Yes.
Which is their best stretch in the 30-game stretch since 2011. A lot of things are tying back to the last time they were in the playoffs when you think about it from that context.
Guess we don't want to play the Cardinals then.
Well, no. Hey, no. I want them.
Oh, yeah. Bring them on.
Listen, I do not care. I am sick and tired of the Cardinals and their success and how they continue to just do what they do every year for
good,
the last 30. Yeah, he's pretty good. He's the MVP if the season were to end today. Last week, we broke here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch. Sir Anthony Dominguez going to the IL. They were going to give him 5 days off. I think I saw something about him throwing the ball yesterday against the net. When is that rehab program or that throwing program, when is that going to start back up? Because I know he can come off this upcoming Friday off of the IL.
Yeah.
So is there any update with Sir Anthony? Because him and Robertson in the back end of that bullpen, when you mix and match those two together, and I know you guys were talking about on the Friday Night Roundtable about Brogdon, if there's any, you know, are we having any concerns over Brogdon? If Brogdon falls a little bit further down into a different role, that sixth, seventh role, instead of having to worry about maybe that late seventh, eighth inning role, that allows him to probably get some of that confidence back when you have guys that can lock it down like Alvarado, Hand, Robertson, and Sir Anthony Dominguez in the back end.
Yeah, and I think they're looking at Sam Coonrod also to start ramping him up in some high leverage situations too. I mean, he throws gas. Yeah, and if he's throwing strikes, he's another one that can help lock it down. To answer your Sir Anthony question, so yesterday the update was still not ready to throw. So I think we're a little bit further out to seeing him getting back and getting back into that bullpen and being able to contribute. But I really think they'll be extremely cautious and give him as much time as he needs, because it just makes sense. You want him as healthy as he can be. And no one's 100% at this point, especially pitchers. You know, their arms are tired, and they've been put through the paces. But he's a guy coming off injury last year, obviously. So they're going to be a little extra cautious. So he's been doing plyometrics, doing, like, you know, stretching drills and with the bands and stuff like that. But he hasn't started throwing yet. They thought maybe he could have play catch today. Whether or not that's happened, I don't know, because obviously I'm not at the ballpark at the moment. So
yeah, but you're hanging out with me. What are you doing here?
I know. I got to get back to work.
You got a job to do.
but I think we're a little ways away from seeing Sir Anthony again. If I had to bet, and again, I'm just speculating, I'm thinking maybe the second week of September, which will be fine. You know, as long as the rest of the guys continue to do what they're doing. I had a really good conversation with Caleb Cotham yesterday, the Phillies pitching coach, talking about all things pitching with the Phils. And part of what we talked about was this back end of the bullpen. You know, you lose Sir Anthony, you lose Corey Kluber, and
Corey Knebel. Yeah, Kluber's starting today for the Rays.
Yeah, well, so we lost him too. I was right.
Can you lose something if you never had it?
Well, you know. That's a deep question.
We've got a couple mishaps today. We got the coffee spill. We've got.
I told you, man.
I hope you brought an extra polo with you. You don't have any stains on that, do you?
No, it's just water. It's only water. We're good. It's basically sweat at this point.
Which is what we're doing sitting here by these doors.
Yeah. So anyway, what he said was they obviously you take those two arms out and things shuffle, but they have such good depth, and you mentioned the names. That he really believes they're going to be able to kind of weather the storm. And then, obviously, Knebel's not coming back, but Sir Anthony hopefully will be back, and they'll be able to kind of solidify things. But, you know, Caleb has done an outstanding job with his pitching staff this year. Really, really good job. And Brian Kaplan, Dave Lundquist, the bullpen coach, all of those guys, a big part of what's going on. And, you know, he's a very cerebral guy. And talk pitching with Caleb Cotham is a lot of fun. So, it's very encouraging to hear him talk about how he sees this, not only the starting staff, but the way the bullpen is shaped up. So,
you know who we haven't really talked about a lot on the program this season? JT Realmuto.
Yeah.
I feel like he's kind of flown under the radar for so long, especially on this show, because there's been so many storylines that have popped up throughout the course of the season, and more so good than bad this year. Last year, it felt like it was like, all right, we got a great team. Oh, this team stinks. It was like every other week we were trying to change it up. But he has steadily started to reassert himself as the best catcher in baseball.
Yeah.
Saw a stat the other day, courtesy of NBC Sports Philadelphia's Corey Seidman. Realmuto has twice as many stolen bases, 16, as any catcher in the majors this season, and hasn't been caught yet. Behind the plate, he's throwing out 22 runners attempting to steal, also the most in the majors. And it also doesn't hurt that he's batting .330 with a .389 all-base percentage and slugging .631 with a 1.021 OPS.
Is that good?
In the second half, that's pretty good. You know, I think he's returned to form from his first few seasons here. I think the worry warts that used to be, you know, like about him and Castellanos, what you've seen, especially here in the second half with the two of those guys and Bryson Stott, and there was another guy in the lineup that was one of the best hitters in the game, Alec Bohm,
there you go,
since the beginning of July. They have four of the top, I think, 30 hitters in baseball since the beginning of July in terms of batting average. It's insane.
Yeah, and which is what we thought we were going to see this season coming in. You know, that's how we envisioned this team would win baseball games, right? Just smashing the ball all over the place, smash the bell, you know, kind of marketing campaign, the way this team was built. And we're seeing that now, you know, really, we have over the last couple of months. And then you add in what we talked about with the pitching, and that's why this team is playing so well. Because you can't just win by scoring 8-9 runs. We've seen that. I mean, this team's been shut out. 7 or 8 times as well.
4 times in 7 games.
Yeah. So, but in those games, you know, when your pitching can step up, well, not a shutout, but if you score 1 or 2 runs and your pitcher's outstanding that day, you can win those games too. So, and again, for JT, he came out of spring training and he was kind of tweaking his swing a little bit. He was working on his front foot and his timing.
He's got that front foot down.
Yeah, and it wasn't working what he was doing. So at some point, he abandoned that and got with Kevin Long, the hitting coach, and said, I need to go back to what I was doing before. They watched a ton of film. They started working on it. And little by little, we started to see the results. And he's, you know, we've talked to him a couple times about it, and he said, at this point, he said, I just simplified everything. And that's a word that we have heard from so many of the offensive players, actually from pitchers too, the idea of just simplifying it. Stop trying to think and be too complicated and just go out there, use your athletic ability and play baseball. And these guys, to a man, you know, you and I were talking before the show about the Gene Segura-Bryson Stott conversation, where Gene Segura said to Bryson Stott, hey, why don't you use your two-strike approach
through the whole at-bat.
Yeah, for the next 10 at-bats and see what happens. And Bryson Stott, two-strike approach, meaning instead of taking a big stride and trying to time it, they widen their stance a little bit and they just try to barrel up the ball. And they don't stride, and the timing is really just their hands at that point. And Bryson Stott did it, and he went 6-for-10, and he has continued it since then. And we've seen this maturation process of Bryson Stott. And so it's like, simplify this game sometimes and good things happen. And that's what we're seeing across the board, really, in this clubhouse.
No doubt about it. And listen, you want to travel with the Green Legion this upcoming football season, which starts 2 weeks from today. The Birds will be in Detroit. You want to be there with us, because there's nobody that does it any better. We've been doing it for 20 years. Chicago, Arizona, Indianapolis, Houston, all on the schedule. The bus trip down. I think we've just added another bus for the trip down to the Toilet Bowl in Washington, D.C. You guys want to make sure you're hanging out there with us. And also on GreenLegion.com, every home tailgate, all 9 of them, you guys want to be here hanging out with us at 1100 Social. We're going to be doing the Eagles, the Green Legion pre-game show again this season from 9 to 10 for 1 o'clock games. So you guys want to make sure that you saddle up with us for sure. $65, all you can eat, all you can drink for 4 hours leading up into game time. And this year it's not just the beer. It's going to be a bunch of top shelf liquors as well.
Ooh.
You guys do not want to miss that. And plus Slash and I and Super Sam Brady will be down here with the rest of the Green Legion gang. Hopefully Murph comes out.
That's what the people care about.
Absolutely.
Me, you, and Sam.
No doubt about it. And I'm hoping that Murph, after the Phillies win the World Series, will join us in November for one of those games for sure to hang out.
That's a promise if that happens. A promise.
Go to greenlegion.com or call the office at 215-666-5940. Coming up in our last segment, we're going to get to our picks, because Murph made up some ground over the last week.
Here
finally.
Here I come.
Yes.
Here I come.
Coming right down the stretch. Can you believe it? And we'll see if John Jansen can make sure he hits the right sounder this time for Can You Believe It? Right here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. This is Bud Light Baseball Brunch. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
Welcome back. This is not Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. This is Bud Light Baseball Brunch. Yes.
All right.
Live on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. Yes.
Well done.
Dude, that's like a newer version.
Seriously, that's like, to me, that's one of the great all-time shows. Regis, you know, one of the all-time great game shows.
Remember Cedric the Entertainer did it? That's how I remember Cedric the Entertainer, was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Man, you're really young.
Wow.
That's how you remember Cedric the Entertainer. Welcome back. Last segment here on this Sunday morning, taking you into Phillies Pirates this afternoon at Citizens Bank Park. We're down here for the final time this season at Xfinity Live. It's been a great ride yet again this year with my boy Murph, and we're going to have some more fun in September. We'll know our programming update.
In October.
Soon.
We hope.
And in October, yes. For sure. But let's go ahead. Let's give away a couple tickets for September. September 9th, Phillies Nationals here at the ballpark. Going to be a lot of fun. Favorite game show. Not best game show. Favorite game show.
Favorite game
so
show.
So we're going to pick out of here. So, Munch, give me your five, and then I'll give you what we have on that.
All right. So you guys both picked off two of my top five as well when you and Kyle gave your picks. The Price is Right. Original Price is Right. Definitely on the list. I already gave you Match Game. And Jeopardy, the Alex Trebek form of Jeopardy, are
it's
all...
It's the first time we've done that this season.
Yeah, yeah. So we are all in agreement that those guys belong. And then for me, the $25,000 pyramid, I always loved that game. We used to play that as kids at home and, you know, play with my parents and do that kind of thing. So I have some good memories around that. I've always thought that was a great show. Was that Dick Clark? He was the host of that, right? Yeah, Dick Clark. So he's a classic too. So and then finally, I didn't know the theme music, but number one for me was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, because that was such an epic experience across the United States, right? I mean, it became a worldwide phenomenon, and I'll never forget. I don't remember the guy's name, but I'll never forget when that guy was the first guy to win $1 million.
He used a single lifeline. He called his dad.
And he said, "Dad, I'm about to win $1 million," and it was the coolest moment in primetime television in like a decade, I thought. So, and Regis is awesome. So, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was my number one. I should have known the theme music. I didn't know.
Well, it was kind of like a slow play. You know, it was a slow build into it.
So. I guess I would, you know, I when they were thinking about, you know, their final answer and the music's playing, then that's what I was kind of attributing to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. But it was a great show. And I guess it's still on at some level somewhere. But
no one cares.
Like a different host every week.
But when they came in, I think it was...
Cedric the Entertainer.
Didn't they do it like for seven straight days in prime time or something like that when it first... And it was awesome. So anyway, there you go.
All right, so here's what's on our list. To Tell the Truth.
Okay, I like that one.
Double Dare.
Great.
Wheel of Fortune.
Hate it.
Ooh. Wow. Password.
Okay.
Let's Make a Deal.
Hate it.
Pyramid.
Yeah.
Name That Tune.
Pretty good.
Deal or No Deal.
Pretty good.
Pressure Luck. Yeah. Supermarket Sweep.
I forgot about that one.
I didn't even know that one.
Yeah, is Mom? Yeah, Mom's on StreamYard.
That sounds like a knockoff of The Price is Right. No,
I actually like Supermarket Sweep. That was a good show.
Hosted by Barker Bob. I don't know. I don't know that one.
Which way you leaning?
Well, so the only one on my list is $25,000 Pyramid, right? I don't think anyone else matched anything else I have, so I got to go with $25,000 Pyramid.
Slash, you're going to have to tie break this one.
All right, who are you going with?
Double Dare.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Isn't that a Nickelodeon?
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Mark Summers.
But, you know, it was
Remember that show? Yeah, with all the slime?
Summer Sanders was on there, too?
I think so.
Okay, remember, best game show.
Favorite game show.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't know, man. Double Dare's nostalgic for me. I got to go Double Dare.
Yes.
That's prime 90s.
Working with these young kids, it's just a killer. I mean,
I don't even
seriously.
Think you won money in Double Dare, though. You just got slushed.
No, you won nothing. You picked like something out of a big nose, and then you were a winner. That's how that worked. Oh, my God.
Money's not everything, Murph.
Lowest common denominator.
Listen, picking the slime and the flag out of the guy's nose, it's like making our picks every single week because Murph made up some ground this past week.
That's
he went 2-1 with 3 points. He hit his underdog Astros, which gave you 2 points on that one. Overall record now is 23-28 with 29 points. I went 1-2 with 1 point. I'm the opposite with you with the record. I'm 28-23, 37 points. So you're down 8 points right now.
Okay.
So let's see how we make out. Give me your first pick this week.
All right. First one for me is this is my underdog for the week. The Guardians and Seattle. You're battling out there on the left coast. So Guardians lost the first two of this four-game series. They won last night. They are plus 130. Guardians are good teams. So Seattle, they're both good teams. I think the Guardians have a pretty good shot, plus 130. I'll ride them and try to take them for the win. They even up the series.
All right, my first pick this week, I'm going Braves-Cardinals over 8.5 at plus 100. Jake Odorizzi has not settled into a role there with the Braves as a starting pitcher.
No.
And Wainwright. And I'm going to go with the offenses here.
Wow.
They've been putting up numbers in that series. They've gone over the other night. Did you see Stevens get hit in the head with that ball and stay on his feet? And he had that big welt on the side of his head.
I did see that, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
What a beast. But I'm going over 8.5
over eight and a half in
that game right there. Give me your second one.
All right. Yankees versus the A's. The Yanks are favored in this. Pretty heavy favorites, actually. -210. Clark Schmidt on the mound for the Yankees. And I can tell you everything I know about Clark Schmidt is he has a 2.18 ERA. I know nothing else about him, but obviously pitching well for the Yanks. You told me he was one of their younger prospects. I'll take your word for it. Yanks win. Yanks beat the A's today. They're the favorite. They'll take care of business. I think they're starting to get their act
together.
What's
the number on that game?
-210.
-210. So you're going for half a point.
Is that all it is?
That's a half point.
I hate that, but whatever.
You're over.
Yeah, it is what it is. That's what I got.
Half a point. You're really going to make up ground that way, Murph. Congratulations.
See, I really should write down the rules because I would not have been able to tell you that was a half point I made it.
Well, this is my two-pointer right here. This is what I'm going for. This is for selfish reasons. But
well, you're a selfish guy.
I really am. I absolutely no doubt about it. Cubs +140 at Milwaukee. Sampson versus Lauer. I'll tell you, man, the Cubs will come to play in Milwaukee. And, you know, I don't think they have a broadcaster that broke their arm on the slide this week. So I'm going to go Cubs +140.
All right. That's your underdog. All right. Finally for me, Orioles and Astros over-under is 7, which is a low number, obviously. And then you look at who's pitching today, and it's Justin Verlander. And so I'm putting every egg in every Verlander basket and hoping he just shoves it up the Orioles, for lack of a better.
They've lost the first two games in that series, too.
Yeah, so I'm going to ride Verlander, and I'm going to take the under in this game.
Okay.
It's against every fiber of my being, and I'm probably wrong.
They have played the under the first two games.
All right, well,
that's
even more reason. 2-0
and 3-1.
All right, but it's 7, so I need Verlander to be terrific, and then I need the Astros not to be too terrific. So
there you go. And my favorite, even though they're actually the underdogs in this game, but I've decided I'm going to take the Rays. At -105, they're in Boston. Corey Kluber is actually starting for them today, not Corey Knebel.
Right.
Against Nick Pivetta. So I'm taking the Rays to beat up on Pivetta today at Fenway Park. Congrats to Sean Henderson with double dare. So Sean Henderson won 2 tickets, friend of the program.
Way to go, Sean.
Can you believe it? Slash, you could have cranked it up a little bit more because we only have 3 minutes left. So what are they going to do, kick us out? turn it up just a little bit more, you know? Two things that we found interesting in Major League Baseball this past week. Give me your first one.
All right. So this one is coming from, I've got this off of Twitter, MLB Stats retweeted, but Katie Sharp is the original source here. Most games with 10-plus strikeouts and one run or fewer allowed in Yankee history. So 10 or more strikeouts, one run or fewer, same game. Gerrit Cole, 12. Ron Guidry, 11. And Whitey Ford, 11.
Wow.
So Gerrit Cole now the all-time leader in that stat for the New York Yankees. That's pretty impressive. And you said, you know, he hasn't really lived up to the hype in New York, and I would agree with that. But he's been pretty darn solid, and he's doing things like that, so enjoy the game, guys. We'll see you.
Yeah, guys. Take care. Baseball's awesome. Yeah. We'll save that argument for another time.
Okay.
Albert Pujols, as of August 23rd, over his previous 10 games, he had 3 games with 8-plus total bases, a pinch-hit grand slam, a game going 4-for-4 or better with multiple home runs, a home run, and a 1-0 win. No other player in Major League Baseball history had accomplished all those feats over the course of an entire season.
That's incredible.
Incredible.
That is, can I believe that?
And that guy's 42 years old.
I know. He can play a little bit.
Although my dad will say he's on the juice still.
I think the kid's going to make it. All right, this might be, well, I don't have the updated numbers, but I'm going with it anyway because it's so darn impressive. But Sarah Langs, she's terrific with throwing some great stats. And so this was from 2 days ago. Paul Goldschmidt, and she's looking at his NL Triple Crown race at that moment, 2 days ago. Home runs, 33. He's one behind Schwarber. Well, now two. RBIs, 105. He leads the National League in that category. And batting average, 339. Leading the National League in that category.
He's not bad.
No. So if he is able to pass Schwarber, you might be looking at another Triple Crown guy, which is amazing to me. You know, first, the Triple Crown is an incredible accomplishment.
One guy since Carl Yastrzemski.
Right. Miguel Cabrera. And so now you put Paul Goldschmidt on that list as well. I don't want him to pass Kyle Schwarber because I want Kyle to win the home run title, but I love accomplishments like that. Yeah. So if he does, he does.
No doubt about it. And Aaron Nola is the only pitcher in the majors to pitch a shutout, complete game shutout, in each of the last three seasons.
How about that?
That's mine right there.
All right.
Today's finale. We're going for the Brooms right now with the Pirates this afternoon. Three on the road in Arizona before an off day on Thursday, and then three in San Francisco to wrap up a six-game road trip against the fighting Gabe Kaplers.
What are you asking me what I think is going to happen?
Oh, yeah, please. Okay. Please elaborate. All right. 5-2?
Yeah, I do.
That, 5-2?
5-2. Three, do we have 4 in Arizona? I'm sorry.
No. It's 3-3, and then today.
Oh, today. Okay, yeah. I think they win today. Finish this up. This Pirates team, they got a lot of holes. And I believe Syndergaard will do enough, and this offense will do enough. They'll win today. They'll go out to Arizona. I think they can take 2 or 3. Arizona's a tough place to play because there's no energy in that ballpark, and it's dark.
It's like going to Miami.
At least in Miami, the ballpark has a little bit of life in that it's bright in there, and the noise is real loud. In Arizona, they got to turn on the lights. It's like dark, and I'm not a fan. And I think it's a tough place to play, and it has been over the years for the Phils. So they'll take 2 or 3, but it is a tough place to play. San Francisco is a big series because, as you said, as we were talking in the break, you can bury the Giants at that point. You know, just get them out of here. They're about 8 back at this point. They'll take 2 out of 3 against Caps team too. So that would be 5-2.
There you go. All right, cool. Thanks to our friends here at Xfinity Live for another fun season of Phillies baseball down here. Slash Sam and I will be down here before Eagles home games with the rest of the Green Legion radio team for the Green Legion radio pregame show from 1100 Social. Go to greenlegion.com and sign up for the 4-hour tailgates today for any Eagles home game this season. For Greg Murphy,
Mace.
Slash.
Him.
John Jansen in studio, Super Sam Brady in Seattle still? I think she comes back this week from the shore. I'm Chris Sack, and like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here, baby. Let's go, Phillies. Break out the brooms. Divide Live is actually live today, coming up next here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler.